We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Chelsea Songson, the founder and editor-in-chief of Boss Ladies, a movement that began with a print magazine in 2016 and has grown into a vibrant in-person and online community of entrepreneurs through her monthly event series called Work Sesh. On today's episode, we're talking about the mission behind Boss Ladies, how Chelsea is layering in new products and services that will give her the freedom and flexibility to work from both California and Maine. And Chelsea also shares her thoughts on why making a good first impression in business is so important. Hey, Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so honored that you would join me today. So thank you for coming on. You're the editor-in-chief and the founder of Boss Ladies, a movement that began with a print magazine in 2016. And before we dive into how your community has really evolved, I would love to hear about your motivation for starting Boss Ladies and why you chose publishing as your method for, you know, putting your message out in the world.
Yeah. So the original seed of the idea was for a studio co-working space kind of thing.
Fascinating.
And really that stemmed from the fact that I was sitting at home editing by myself all day. And I was just sick of spending all day by myself. And so the idea for the publication was as a Kickstarter prize for this studio that we were going to be creating. But it became clear quite early on that the types of businesses and the types of women who we wanted to have as part of this studio, their businesses were still too young and they couldn't necessarily pay for a studio on the west side of LA. Mm-hmm. So, but we had already created about half the content for the publication.
Oh, wow.
And we had already started sharing it on social. And it was pretty clear that the publication was something that people were kind of yearning for, even if it wasn't just a means to an end any longer, if it was the project itself. Mm-hmm. So pivoted, focused all of our attention and energy on the magazine. And I feel like I chose a magazine as the manifestation of the project, probably because I worked for a magazine in college. I spent the summers working for a publication called Maine Food and Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I was their editorial assistant, which basically meant that like I did anything that either the editor or the publisher asked me to do. So I got to write half of an issue. I got to help them set up new consignment locations, help them bring in ad revenue. I managed a lot of their social and their blog content. So because the team was so small at this publication, I got to kind of run the gamut and learn everything across
the board.
So I felt really comfortable that starting a publication was something that I would have the bandwidth and knowledge to do.
It's funny because I feel like that to me, who has zero experience in publishing and creating a magazine, aside from creating my wholesale catalog, which is a booklet form, like to me, that feels so daunting to create a magazine. And I applaud you and I admire you for saying, nope, this is what I want to do. But you also did, I'm glad to hear you did have the background too. That probably made it a little bit easier and made you more confident as you approach the project.
Well, also, I feel like when you begin a project, you don't realize quite how big it could be. For the first, I think, 6 months when we started Boss Ladies, I stopped reading all other publications because I was like,
tell me more about that.
In hindsight, this was actually a poor decision. I probably should have done a lot more research and studying of other publications, but I was just like, if I read other magazines, I'm going to be too scared and I'm going to feel like there's too much to do and there's too many different moving pieces and I'm not going to be able to pull it together. So I just pushed all of that away and created something. Started reading magazines again like 6 months later.
Were there any fears around inadvertently, I don't want to say copying, but like being influenced by the magazines you're reading? Is that one of the reasons you may have cut it off too?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the big reasons. And I still think about that. I try really hard for the month before we start designing the magazine, not to actually look at any publications for that month, because I find that my design preferences and tendencies get swayed by whatever I'm seeing at that time. I think it's just easier to be original when you have periods of time where you sort of hibernate and block out all of the inputs.
That's a great point. I think in the product space too, as people are making, you know, their greeting cards or their textiles or creating whatever artwork they're creating, it is so easy to be influenced by all the things that are out there in the world that are grabbing at our attention, right? Instagram and publications and emails even that we receive from different brands. And so sometimes it is hard to separate yourself from what else is going on out there with what you're, with your internal dialogue of what you're trying to create.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about the mission behind Boss Ladies. You alluded to it that you were looking to create a co-working station, or not a station, but a space rather for these women. Tell me what was motivating you there and what the mission is.
The Boss Ladies mission has three parts. It's to inspire, educate, and provide community for the growing group of women who are wanting to create their own businesses. And so at this point, our publication is sort of the inspiration component. Our work sesh that I know we'll talk about later is our community component. And then right now we're just dipping our toes in what the education component could sort of look like for us. Mm-hmm.
Nice. So I assume this magazine is for women primarily. It's for entrepreneurs. Is that correct?
Yeah. Usually creative entrepreneurs of all different, like the businesses can be of all different sizes. So we have, solo artists that are just building art practices that we think are really inspiring, all the way up to women who have teams of 250 or more, or have taken huge amounts of capital. And as of yet, we haven't profiled any women who have publicly traded companies. So that's something that I feel inclined to do in the next year or so, to see like what that transition looks like going from a private to a public company.
Love it. You've published four issues that have featured women in Los Angeles and New York, and I was very honored to be included in issue number two. Your fifth issue will be focused on San Francisco. And I'm curious, I'm a subscriber to the magazine, and I love seeing every issue because you do include a wide range of different types of women from different backgrounds, with different skill sets, with different types of businesses, all ranges of startup to more experienced. How do you decide which women you want to feature and which brands to include in each issue?
It's the hardest and most, it's at the same time, it's the most difficult and most exciting piece of the job, I feel like.
I bet.
I spend about 8 months doing research before we do an issue. And I keep this big spreadsheet that at the top it has each city listed. And every time I come across a woman, whether it's an article in Vogue or in Forbes, or I stumble through the Instagram rabbit hole into someone who's like doing really interesting work, or I hear a talk or listen to a podcast and I just feel inspired by that person's work, I add their name to the list in their city.
Nice.
And when the city list gets long enough, then we know it's time for an issue in that city.
That's awesome. And the next one, it's San Francisco, right? Is that what?
Okay. Yeah. San Francisco will be out in 2 weeks from when we're recording.
Oh, so exciting. So we've alluded to the fact that this business model for you and what you're offering, the different products and services you're offering and have evolved over the last 2 years. How are you layering these things in so that you're staying true to the mission of Boss Ladies and the types of programming and educational pieces that you want to be doing?
Yeah, I think that we sort of experimented with a lot of different things over the past 2 years. And we've learned a lot from each experiment and sort of honed in closer and closer into what I want to be doing. And at the end of the day, I feel like that's really important for founders as you're starting a company, is that it has to be what you want to be doing and what you want to be spending your hours doing and the people you want to be spending your hours with. And like, that's the most important thing. And yes, you have to make revenue, but finding a way to sort of marry the making revenue with spending your time in the ways you want to, I think is so important.
I 100% agree with you. I was talking to somebody today saying my company is a people first company. And, the personal things that are going on in my employee and non-employees, my contractors' lives, like that's their first priority. We're having a lot of transition right now. And so, but to me, that's the most important. Yes, my business is a business. Yes, we want it to make money. Yes, we want it to be profitable to pay for all the different things we're doing in the business. And also my family and my contractors' families and all that stuff. But ultimately it's about fit. It's about the human beings that we are and living a happy life and doing the things that we love. So I'm glad you, I'm glad you touched on that. Have you ever had to move away? I mean, I guess the Kickstarter, right? With the space that didn't come to fruition. Like, was that a hard transition for you to move away from that? Was your heart set on it?
Well, I feel like I didn't totally move away from it. So I kept it in the back of my mind, right? And we started the publication. And 6 months later, I was still really yearning to be in other people's company and have that sort of communal mm-hmm. experience. And that's when our work sesh started. So that was my attempt to like circle back to this studio idea.
So tell everybody what Work Sesh is and how you kind of facilitate it and what the goal is.
Yeah, sure. So Work Sesh is essentially, we call it like a pop-up co-working series, but it's a little misleading because we don't actually do any work. So basically it's 4 weeks in a row with a group of 30 women who all come together to help support one another, to share resources, to share experiences and wisdom. And so typically we sit in a circle. I introduce a topic or question, and then we go around the circle and each person speaks to that topic or question as it relates to her life and her business. Mm-hmm. And over the past, I think we've done Work Sesh in LA now for 17 months in a row, which means, you know, every single week for 17 months. And there are women who have been there every single week
for
the past 17 months. And so it creates this really beautiful container to watch someone's business progress over the course of almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And we've all been able to sort of witness each other's rise in a really beautiful way.
That is. Well, and too, to have 30 other people that you can bounce ideas off of, speak to in person. I'm sure they're really building strong relationships by, you know, peeling off and talking to different people at each one and getting to know them.
Totally. I actually, last year, I ended up making this long list of all the collaborations and businesses that had been started by women who met at Work Sesh. And it was the coolest list.
Oh my gosh.
There's at least 50, if not 60 different collaborations and cool things that have started between the women.
Give us an example of one, if you can think of one off the top of your head.
I can think of a lot. So the first one that jumps to mind is Zanny and Gray and Al. So Zanny is a technical dress line started by Suzanne Lewis. And Gray and Al is a art director and photographer combo. And so the two of them have been working together in a variety of different ways for the past, I mean, they met at the very, very first Work Sesh. So when Suzanne was launching her dress line, she hired Gray and Al to produce all of the imagery. And they've done, I think, upwards of 10 shoots together since. Gray and Al also do set design. Mm-hmm. So they built out Zanny's booth for Unique LA. What else have they done together? I'm sure there's another project too. And Gray and Al have also been played that same kind of role in Ranavat Botanics, which is a skincare company. They've done all of the set design and all of the product photography for all of that stuff as well.
That's awesome. I love just seeing these natural progressions that happen when people come together, when women come together, entrepreneurs. Like, there's just so many things we have in common and so many ways that we can leverage each other's experiences for good. You know, we can help each other where we feel weak in something. We can leverage other people's skills and experiences and also give back ourselves.
Yeah. And I think new ideas come to fruition that we would have never had in isolation, mm-hmm. you know, that we would have only had by listening to what one person had to say and then bringing our own experience to that. And you come to something really beautiful together.
Absolutely. I love that. So in addition to Work Sesh, you said you're trying to layer in some new educational programming. Do you want to talk about that too? Or is that still too new?
Well, I can speak to it a little bit. We haven't sort of nailed it down yet, but we're definitely moving toward offering more online educational experiences.
Thanks.
And I think it's still a little bit unclear what shape that's going to take. But over the next 6 months, we'll be pulling that together and starting to share more pieces of it.
The Work Seshes are very similar to what a lot of online business coaches and stuff are doing in terms of mastermind groups. You know, they're creating these smaller groups that come together and brainstorm together and share their ups and downs to get through it. But I like the way you've established it as more of like an accountability group and a support group, but you're still talking shop and lending support in all facets of life.
Yeah. And I think it takes away sort of the hierarchy model of what a mastermind can feel like, or certain types of masterminds where there's no like leader that you should be listening to. Instead, we're like all in the same playing field trying to help each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I'm in a peer-led mastermind group and it's really powerful in a different way that a paid mastermind that I'm into, one with it that's paid for with a coach and one that's peer led. And both are very valuable in different ways. But I agree with you. I think the peer led can kind of, it has a little more fluidity to it. It can kind of go where we need it to go because it's not one person, you know, leading the way.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing what you do on the educational front too. An interesting part of your business is that you have worked with a significant number of contractors over the last couple of years. What is it like working with people all over the country and in different time zones?
That's a really good question. I feel like I've had to learn how to be a good leader basically over the internet.
Which is not an easy feat.
No, it's actually really, really tricky. But I've learned that things like Pinterest boards that are very, very explicit and long detailed emails before you embark on a project together. I think at the end of the day, communication is always the most important thing. And I've learned how to be a more efficient and effective communicator before you launch into a project, especially when there's so much distance between the people that are working on it. I think I've also learned that production schedules are really important and having really clear expectations and timelines outlined from the very beginning so that when you have five different people in five different states working on something, everyone understands where everyone else is at and how we're all going to come together to finish the project on time.
What do you use to keep that production schedule on task? Do you use something like Trello or Asana?
Handy dandy Google Sheet. No, nothing fancy.
Google Sheet. I like it though. Yeah. And then everyone has access to it or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What about communication? Do you do it all over email or do you guys use Slack or anything like that?
All email.
Nice. So yeah. Talk about the types of contractors you work with and how do you go about finding these people?
Good question. Okay. So at this point, we're working with graphic designers, illustrators, photographers, printers, letterpress artists. Who else are we working with? Copywriters, writers, videographers, production people. And how do I find them? Well, at this point, I find most everyone through WorkSesh.
Nice.
I mean, you meet like at each WorkSesh, there's probably like six different photographers, if not more. And they all have such specific and unique aesthetics and specialties that, you know, for example, in the next issue, I really imagined having this beautiful film photo of the team that we shoot on the top of the mountain. And there's one woman in particular, Brie McCool, whose photography like is exactly that kind of thing. It's this incredible double exposure film photographs. And so it was so clear that Brie was the perfect person to do that project. Have I met other people? Oh, my graphic designer I met because she supported our Kickstarter and she posted a picture of the magazine to her Instagram. Mm-hmm. I found it through like the tags and we've been friends now for 2 years and she's designed four of the issues for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said too for once you start hiring people or connecting with others, there's a natural progression of then finding out about their friends or people they've worked with and collaborated with.
And I think there's also some really good databases of contractors and artists and freelancers like I Love Creatives. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people enjoy that site and find really good people
there. I'm not familiar with that one. Is it mostly photographers or is it?
It's a little bit of everything. You'll find PR people and writers and photographers and designers and videographers and the whole gamut.
Nice. That's a little, I've used Upwork in the past, but it does feel like you're kind of, you have to do a lot of digging to find the right people to, you know.
This, I Love Creatives is very curated. Mm-hmm. So you can almost guarantee that every person that you find there, their work is going to be incredible.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you still do majority of the writing then for the magazine or do you have others help?
Yeah. For this next issue, there are seven chapters on seven different women and I wrote six of the seven. So I enjoy it.
I remember being so flattered when you asked, but then also super nervous about the interview because, you don't ask traditional questions. You ask very thoughtful, very deep questions, beautiful questions that I really wanted to think on before we talked, just so that I could articulate, you know, I could think on everything and articulate it in the best way possible. You talked about how it's exciting, but also challenging to figure out which women to bring into the magazine. But then how do you decide what content to ask them? What types of questions to focus on?
I feel like it's been a process over the past five issues. And I find that whenever it's time to do the interviews, I'm usually in a certain season of life and I'm interested in certain kinds of things. So that's where I start every interview is like, what are the things that I'm most interested in that moment? And like, what are their thoughts on those things? And that allows the content, I think, to be really fluid and like grow with me as I grow.
No, I definitely. Yeah. I was just really impressed. I think we interviewed, like, was it like 5 weeks after I'd had my daughter Lauren? And
it was very shortly after.
Like, such a hot mess when you came to my house to photograph me. I'm like, okay, where are we going to go to?
You looked beautiful, and the photographs they were.
Thank
beautiful.
You. You made me feel like $1 million in a time where I felt like very much a mess. So thank you for that. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, how do you define success for yourself and your brand? You know, everyone defines this differently. So I'd just like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think right now I view success as freedom. I'm in a space where I'm really interested in spending a lot of time back in Maine with my family. And that requires having a business that is flexible and malleable and can move from LA to Maine and back again with me. So for me, my current version of success is just a business and a life that allows me to do that, to make that transition.
What are you doing to enable that?
That is a good question. And that is in large part why we're moving into the educational components now, because I think we can provide really beautiful content digitally, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an in-person experience, which a lot of our other offerings do require, you know, in-person experiences, or me in LA.
Yeah. As you know, I do in-person and also online programs, and the in-person are so rejuvenating and exciting, but it's also very exhausting at the end of the time, and it's very high touch. You know, it's me there facilitating. And so I know what you mean. If you're trying to build more freedom and flexibility into your life and your business, the online platform can do that for you. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, let me know if you have questions as you're developing that. I'm happy to lend an ear. So you've seen a lot of businesses come to fruition. You've seen them grow. You've seen them scale. You've played a part in their success. What advice, or what have you seen through them and through your own experiences? Like, if you had to boil it down to one or two key pieces of advice that you would want to give people starting out, new entrepreneurs, what would you tell them?
Number one, I would say that it's really important to study other companies. And I know that this goes a little bit against what we were talking about earlier, about how you have to block out the whole world. But I think before you can block out the world, you actually have to know what's out there. And you have to learn from people who are experts at what you're trying to do. I try to have one focus of study every month and study different companies who I think are doing that thing particularly well. And I've been doing that now for, what, maybe the past 7 months. And I think I've grown a lot as a leader and as a business owner by trying to emulate or better understand people who I think are doing things particularly well.
To that point, and I don't want to deter you from your second point, so jot it down. But to that point, do you have mentors in your life, in your business that you work with?
Nothing official. No. My last job, I had a really incredible boss, and I still look to her for mentorship and advice. Often also a lot of at this point I've featured and worked with 100 women over the past 5 issues, and those women have built very different kinds of businesses. And so usually if I have a specific question, one of those 100 women has done it before and is usually pretty willing to lend an ear and help out. But no, I don't currently work with any coaches or consultants or something like that.
But I meant more in like an informal capacity.
Yeah,
you do have all these great connections with these women you featured over the last, you know, 5 issues. And I would assume that studying these different businesses as you've done, you know, and getting to know all the people you featured, you do have great role models and people that you're connected to that you can lean on for support or mentorship. So even if it's in an informal capacity, you know.
Right. And I think I also get a lot of that from WorkSesh, you know.
Yeah.
And colleagues, at this point, I spend 2 of my 5 working days at WorkSesh. So that's a lot of time spent with a lot of people.
That is. I didn't realize it was 2 days a week. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we currently have a Tuesday group and a Wednesday group in LA. So, but my other piece of advice.
Yeah, sorry.
So my second piece of advice there. for new entrepreneurs is that aesthetic matters more than you think it does.
Tell us more.
I think that when you're starting out, what's that saying? It's something like done is better than perfect. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, fair. That's true. And at the same time, you have one opportunity to make a first impression, and your branding and what you present of your brand is that first impression. And so taking the time to really nail down and understand your own brand story and how you want to communicate that through language and through visuals and all of those sorts of things before you launch anything, I think is super important.
I agree with you. I think there is a fine line between the things you want to fake it till you make it, so to speak, on, and the things that you really want to have dialed in your brand, your story, your mission, the why behind your brand. Those are things you don't want to, you know, half-assed, so to speak. You know, you want to have those dialed in. But in terms of, and even, you know, your products or services, you don't want to do that damage either by not being prepared. So no, I like that. That's great. What's next for you? You've mentioned a few things that you're working on, but what else is coming down the pipeline?
We have a lot of San Francisco-based stuff right now. So I head to San Francisco in 2 weeks, and we'll launch our SF issue with a panel that we're doing at Heath Ceramics, which will be really special.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
They have a newsstand at their San Francisco location, and it's the most beautiful collection of magazines you've ever seen. So we'll do a panel there with them. And we'll launch the next issue, and then we'll continue hosting work sesh in LA. We're doing one in San Francisco in May. And then this year in October, we are hosting our first business retreat in Malibu as an opportunity for all of these women who we featured in the past 5 issues to come together and get a little tiny taste of what we experience at work sesh all the time, but for women who probably can't spend one day a week going to things like that, but instead, you know, a 3-day chunk of time where, in my mind, the most interesting women from LA, New York, and San Francisco can all come together.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. So where can people find you online? Where can they, you know, check out your Instagram or subscribe to the magazine?
Yeah, so our website's bossladies.us, and our Instagram handle is bossladiesmagazine.
Awesome. Well, we'll be sure to include that in the show notes. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your story and what you're working on and how you are inspiring women in entrepreneurship to work with each other and dream bigger. And so thank you for all that you're doing.
Oh, it's totally my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Hey guys, it's Katie Hunt from Trade Show Bootcamp. I know that many of you have been patiently waiting for the return of our Paper Camp e-course. And I'm excited to tell you that our summer session is almost here. This is a 4-week online program that kicks off on June 4th. You'll get new videos to watch each week on your own, and we'll have a live Q&A call each week with me and special guest experts. But you gotta act fast because registration closes on June 2nd. If you want to see your products on the shelves of retail stores, big and small, or if you want to launch or refine your wholesale program or exhibit at large-scale wholesale shows, this is the program for you. We cover product development, sales tools for wholesale, working with reps, marketing to retailers, and exhibiting at shows. To learn more and register, head on over to tradeshowcamp.com and then click on Paper Camp eCourse. That's tradeshowcamp.com, then Paper Camp eCourse. I look forward to having you join me.
Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.